This morning. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those who are new. Welcome to those online. Let's stand and start praise and worship together this morning. We are here to meet with the King. Hallelujah. And He is so good, and there is nothing He cannot do. Hallelujah.
for you.
Let your word, Lord.
Let your word.
You do mine, you do good.
all together.
I stand amazed in your presence. There is nothing you cannot do. There is joy.
Sing it again. We sing it again. Stand amazed, yes, Lord.
I stand amazed in your presence. There is nothing you cannot do.
Hallelujah, what a mighty God. We stand amazed.
I stand amazed in your presence.
There is joy.
There is joy.
Oh!
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh,
I'd like to thank the worship team for their ability to praise and worship God in the Spirit. They live according to God by the Spirit. The Spirit has already manifested in this place. Glory has been released. We exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we come before your throne. We say, Abba, Father, you're the one and only. We are grateful for you and all the things you have done in our life and how you sent Jesus, your Son, as a sacrifice that we too may have salvation upon our souls. We give you praise, Lord God, and honor. You are worthy of all praise, worship. We worship and adore you. There is no any other God than you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. King David, he was blessing the Lord in 1 Chronicles 29:10. It says, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, as we just have done. And he said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O King, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. In thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it goes to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Amen. Do you see how the Lord works with the praise and worship with the last song and the first message that came out? It's a working of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, we glorify God. The songs that were sung, we're singing about the seas and the greatness of God, and it all encompasses into this first scripture. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, praise and worship. And thank you, Father. I prophesy over you. More songs are coming into place in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, more than before, and also for the ones playing the instruments, they will play new tunes in the name of Jesus. We bless them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As you can see, Pastor Maria and Apostle Mike and Pastor Maria are not here, and I just bless them in the name of the Lord for all their work that they do for the kingdom of God. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. We pray the blessings as a congregation over them in Jesus' name. If I can have the children come up. Thank you, Jesus. And anyone else that feel they need prayer can come up also. If you need prayer for something, just join the line. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for these children, Lord. They're growing up to be mighty warriors in your kingdom. We thank you, Father God, that the power of God rests upon them. They soak up the Spirit like a sponge. The words of life are in them, and it will never depart from them. They walk down the narrow path of life, which causes them to seek God at all times. They seek the Lord God Almighty. They seek those things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. They are not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of their minds, We bless them mightily. We thank you, Father God, you have destiny for each and every one of them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, they are successful in all their works. They're blessed in their coming in, and they're blessed in their coming going out. We thank you, Father God, for this. No evil shall befall them. Anyone, God says, anyone contends with my children, God contends with them. There's a wall of fire around them, protecting them from every evil force. In the mighty name of Jesus, they are the head and the not the tail. They excel in all that they do. And I pray the blessings upon the teachers and the teams that work with them, that there's godly instruction coming out of them and wisdom is imparted into them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, they're taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. They will not separate. They absolutely will not separate themselves from the Word of God. They will not go into the world system and ways. They know the Word of God, and they stick to the Word of God in everything they're doing. As they acknowledge you will acknowledge you, Lord. You will direct their paths in all that they do. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Father God. They increase in wisdom and stature with God and man. And thank you, Father God, there is more than enough for them. Destiny is in their hearts. Heaven is in them, in the name of Jesus. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We thank you, Father, that's the way they walk, in the name of Jesus. They resist every attack of the enemy. They are be taught by the Lord what to do, by the anointing of the Lord upon them. Thank you, Father God, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up in judgment against them, the words are condemned in the mighty name of Jesus. They are strong in the Lord. They are going to be doing great exploits for the Lord in the name of Jesus. Out of the babes of children and of the sucklings comes perfected praise. We thank you, Father God, that their mothers and fathers or caregivers be very attentive to what these children may be seeing. They may be prophesying over your own life. Be attentive to what is going on with your children in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. May they have a wonderful time with the Lord in their classes. And mighty, full, manifold blessings upon their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I have been doing studies for the last couple of months, and I believe the Lord is leading me this way today. I'm not going to stay on the Psalm 23. Just I'd like to mention something about David, King David. That man was a mighty man of God. He loved the Lord with all his heart, his soul, and might. Everything within him was praising the Lord. I thank you, Father God, for the example that King David was. We read in the Psalms, he'd gone through many trials. He'd gone through many things. He committed adultery, and God says he was a man with a pure heart. Why was he that man of a pure heart? He was told that in an unseen way that he knew that he committed adultery, and he knew he had to deal with it. So how did he deal with it? He repented, and he asked the Lord to forgive him for what he has done. And he knew the word of the Lord. He knew that it says, as far as the east is from the west, the Lord forgives our sins. He knew the word. He had to believe the word and stay focused on that word. He had mighty things to do. He was a shepherd boy when he grew up. He knew the things of the shepherd. And it says, it's Psalm 23. This is not where we're going. But in Psalm 23, if you can put up just, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When he says that, he sees the need of a shepherd because of the fact that he was keeping sheep. He was young. He could have been around 15 years old at the time. And God had a plan for his life. Little did he know that one day he first of all would be king of Judah and then promoted to king of Israel. There is hope in our lives. No matter what we're going through, God can change our lives immensely. We thank you, Lord. And growing up, he was not only a shepherd boy, but he was a musician. He played mightily. He played for Saul that got rid of all the evil spirits around him. But he also got in trouble with Saul because Saul didn't like him. So he had many battles to confront with Saul. He was a mighty warrior. He was brilliant in military strategy. He was outstanding as a military officer. He was a commander-in-chief of the military in Israel. And we thank the Lord that he learned many things from the Lord. Now, can you imagine the shepherd boy just tending sheep? Now he's going up. Samuel anoints him around when he's 15, 16 years old. And then he moves up to be king. He takes King Saul's place. It's a mighty move of God. And through that, he had to learn certain things. He had to know how to run a kingdom. And to also, in those days, they also were to give them spiritual advice in those days. So he knew he had to remain with the Lord, being very close to his side in all that he did. He yielded to God. He was a warrior. He was a king. He was also an administrator. He organized the kingdom of God, of the kingdom that he was assigned to. And we thank you, Father God, for his life. And we thank you, Lord, that you're moving mightily. You move mightily in his life. And we come to the part where he was so acquainted with the Lord. His heart was sold out to God. He knew God would help him through any situation. We need to be the same. Sometimes things don't look good. We struggle, but we say, Lord, you are our helper. That was one of the songs we were singing. Lord, you're our helper. He's the only one who can help us. Our souls have to be cleansed by the word of God, the precious word, the excellency of the God of Jesus, the God of our world. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that things were moving mightily for David. And there was a time he wanted to build a house for the Lord. And God says, no, you're a man of war. He fought many battles. It said it's for your son, Solomon. So in that, he was taught many things. And before he gave up his reign to Solomon, he had prayed over him something special. Things that he had gone through. He prayed this over Solomon that hopefully he wouldn't have to go through all the things he went through. In Psalm 28, verse 20 and 21. I believe it's 20. No, just verse 20. So, pardon me. First Chronicles 28, verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, because he knows. David experienced that. God doesn't fail him, nor forsake thee. God didn't forsake David when he was hiding in the mountain from Saul. He was terrified, and he cried out with all his soul to God, help me, deliver me from this man and the armies. Like, he had armies also. It's not just one man. Armies were looking for him, searching for him. Help me, Lord. He said, God will not fail nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. He is transferring a mantle onto his son Solomon. It was a great thing, but much work, and he had to be focused on the Lord. We thank the Lord for all of that in Jesus' name, and Solomon was able to go through until certain areas in his life that he had to get rid of things. But we all in our walk have to yield to God, and there's things in us that we have to get rid of too. As the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you, he's calling you to repentance. He's not talking, if the Lord is talking to you, he's not talking to you about someone else or your husband or your daughters. He's specifically speaking to you, get your act together. Yield to the Spirit of God. He's a mighty God. He loves you so much. In the Old Testament, the people were taken through the Red Sea, and what did they do? They started failing again. They wanted to do everything their own way. And that hurts God's heart. We yield to the Spirit of the living God, that we may walk in spirit and in truth all the days of our life. We thank you, Father God, that it was saying that the Spirit of the Lord accompanies the anointing by Samuel. From that moment on, God touched David, and he equipped David and directed his path as a child, because he was a young boy. It's amazing how what the anointing can do to change your life from one area to another. But you have to listen to the voice of God. You have to maintain your place with God in the Holy Scripture, because it says to renew your mind. If you don't renew your mind, how can you hear from God? You're connecting with God. You're having a conversation with God. And we speak the word of God. So we thank you, Father God, for all this in the name of Jesus. And I just wanted to read something because of time. As Solomon prayed, he had such a heart for God. He wanted Solomon to remain like him. Purity, holiness, always loving the Lord with all our heart and our souls. Oh, he wanted that so much for him. If we can go to Psalm 27, and this will all conclude there. We thank you, Father God. Our ears are attentive to your word. We hear the voice of God, and at your command, we listen and obey in the mighty name of Jesus. We do not let go of you, Lord. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. You're the only one that can bring comfort and peace to us. You're so mighty, mighty. Oh, Lord, we bless your name in the name of Jesus. In Psalm 27, David, King David, said this over his son Solomon, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. This is what David experienced. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He had to connect with God to feel in that way. We need a closer relationship with the Lord. One thing, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. He was dancing before the Lord in the spirit. He was dancing because he knew the joy of the Lord, how he helped him through situations. What a mighty God we had, he said. What a mighty God I have. He said that in verse 5, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. And shall he hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock, a place where there's peace. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. He praised the Lord with all his heart. It wasn't just emotion. It was deep within his spirit to praise God for everything he had done for him. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. And verse 7 says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. He could have been in so much trouble, he was crying saying this. He was terrified of the armies coming against him. I will seek thee, Lord. Hide not thy face from me, far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. And we had that about the helper in the song there. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me the way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. He acknowledged the Lord in everything that he was doing. And he went through the straight gate, not the narrow gate of destruction. The path of destruction is narrow, is wide. But the narrow path leads to joy. In the name of Jesus. Verse 12. Deliver me not over the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are arisen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He said he would be, which basically says, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. He had to believe. He could have fallen right there. He said, I had fainted. If he fainted, he could have been destroyed, but he was a mighty man of God, a man of war, and he kept with that even in his prayer life. He was a man of might. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say on, say on the Lord. What a beautiful psalm. In the psalm it says, David has said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Deliver me, Father God, from every entrapment of the enemy. I believe in you, Lord. You're the only one that can help me. You are my rock, my fortress. You're the strength of my legs and my feet. I have to lead an army, and there's a great army. He's the commander in chief. If he makes the wrong move, a lot of the army could be washed out. He had to seek the Lord for strategy to get things moving right, and he did so. Some may have died, but not the whole army. We thank the Lord that the example of King David, being that mighty man of God, a man of valor, a man of strength. His strength was in the Lord God Almighty. We thank you, Father God, for his life and all that example that he's been to us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Also, just this Nehemiah 9, verse 5, it starts up with the word stand up to verse 6. And Nehemiah, in his days, too, had a lot of battles to fight. And this is a prayer. It says it came from the Levites. In verse 5, it says to stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. This is still verse 5. It's more at the end. By thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise, thou art Lord alone. He's the only one that can help us through situations. We reverence God. We are reverencing God the Father, Abba Father. He's the God that made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all the host, the earth and all things that are with therein, the seas and all that there is therein. Thou preservest them, and the host of heaven worships thee. We thank you, Father. It says the rocks will come and praise you and worship you in the spirit. They were formed and created by God. And we thank you, Father. We cry out to Abba, Father. May we recognize you at all times. You are the God, the only God of heaven and earth that we serve. No one is like you. You are more than enough. The God of our salvation. We thank you, Father, for a mighty move of your spirit. We pray, Father God, for the persecuted church right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, have your way. Men and women that go in the forefront to fight battles in the spirit realm, Lord, help them through their struggles. Jesus, Jesus, have mercy. I even pray for Hamas. They were wicked people, but God still loves them. And in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, that these people that are in Hamas will have a mighty experience with God and that they will come to their salvation in the mighty name of Jesus. There is no lack in your kingdom. You will provide for everything that's going on in the world. There's a mighty move and shaking of the Spirit of God in the atmosphere. Things are changing rapidly. People are coming to Christ in numbers in the name of Jesus. They're getting baptized in lakes and rivers. They want to know Jesus. The young are coming. The young are coming more, and they will worship the Lord in holiness and goodness. We thank you, Father. Your coming is soon. And we thank you, Lord, we're strong to fight the battle in the heavenlies. In the name of Jesus, we stand strong because we put on the full armor of God. In the name of Jesus, we don't miss the mark. We yield to God and come forth with him. In the mighty name of Jesus, he is our strength, and we will get through. I pray, Father God, for the peace of Jerusalem and for peace within their walls, prosperity within their palaces. We thank you, Father God, that your hand is over Israel. Remove the blindness from the eyes that do not know Jesus, do not know Jesus as Messiah has come back. Remove that, the blindness from the eyes, that they may worship you in spirit and truth. Let that religion drop off of them in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father God, for what you're going to do in these last days on the earth. Many will be saved. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, O God, and honor and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Father God, that the word came forth with power. It was your word, not mine. Thank you, Jesus. I give you all the honor and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Passage of scripture I'm looking at is Psalm 91. I am convinced that Psalm 91, especially now, is one of the most popular psalm. Other than Psalm 23, I think Psalm 91 is the psalm that we can reference a great deal, because it says a lot to us. And I want to revisit it with you today. The Word of God says here that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word dwelleth is a Hebrew word yashab. And it means exactly that. It means that he that tarries, you can translate it that way, he that tarries in the secret place, he that remains, he that settles, he that inhabits the secret place, he that continues in the secret place. And all of those are valid words that word yashab can be translated in. But strangely enough, the word yashab also can be translated as marry. And it was that particular aspect of that word that the Lord brought us to as he began to unveil this particular passage of scripture. And I want to explore that with you this morning. The aspect of marrying. He that is married. And when you get married, you plan to stay. You plan to change your place of habitation or whatever. When you marry, you're settling. You're settling and you're no longer, floundering all over the place, your eyes looking everywhere. You're married. You're settled in your mind, in your relationship, in making a commitment. There's a commitment here. He that dwelleth, he that is committed. The Word of God is telling us something very interesting here, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High gets to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But what is this place, he that dwelleth? Is this a place for everybody? Because there's a secret place, it says here, in the secret place. Now, when we think about marriage, and we reference it with the word secret, a place of covering, the word is the word sitar, we begin to recognize that something is happening here that God wants to point our eyes to. There is the aspect of dwelling in that secret place. But not everybody gets to dwell in the secret place. For example, let me put it this way. If you were to be married, you know that the marriage is not only between, or the marriage ceremony is not just, it's just something just between the two people that are going to be connected and becoming one. but that there are guests that are there, and those guests are participants in the marriage ceremony, but they are not the ones that are married. And then you have the marriage party, where you have the ladies that stand with the woman and the guys that stand with the man, but they are not the couple. Then there is the best man and the best woman, if you may put it that way, or maid of honor, but they are not the couple. They are only able to come some distance. And that distance is going to end not just in the ceremony itself, where the engagement or the connection between the couple is being made, and in the party that follows after. There is a place where all of these other people cannot get to, even though they were invited to that wedding. There is a special place. Now, let's call that place the hotel, the honeymoon suite. The honeymoon suite is there, and there is possibly a maid or whoever it is that cleaned the place, made sure that the place is all set up properly. Whatever it is that bride or the groom wanted to place there secretly is put there secretly. But that maid doesn't get to dwell there. They are only able to visit it, but this is a relationship between that man and that woman. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place where they consummate their relationship and legalize it. Make it legal. If the relationship is not consummated, even though they said, I do, they are not really married yet. And God is saying to us that He wants to take us to a secret place. Because this secret place is not just secret. It is secret to you, the bride. This is a place that God and God alone knows. That's why it's secret. And that's why it is holy. That's why it is sacred. This is a special place, wherever that place is. This is a place where the bride and the bridegroom become bare to each other. They are transfigured and changed before each other. This secret place is a place that God wants to take you and take me to. This place of intimacy. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 13, it says, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. And then it says, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away to where? To a very special place, to a secret place. It says, oh, my dove that art in the clefts of the rock. Do you remember Moses? Moses is kept at the cleft of the rock as God reveals his glory, reveals who he is. God is bringing us to a place of the manifestation of who He is, the manifestation of His glory. It is in this secret place that God wants to take you and take me too. And it is in this place that you and I are going to experience the protection, the provision, the power of God. Oh, my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places. In the secret places. In the secret places of what? In the secret places of the stairs. What are these stairs? These are the stairs of elevation. This is a place that God wants to take you and I to so that he can elevate us by his grace and by his mercy into higher levels, into higher dimensions by the authority of his power, of his word. He says, let me see thy countenance. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see who you are. I want to see you. It's not just you seeing God. God says, I want to see you. I want to see you. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. This is a perfect place. God is calling you and I to come closer in our relationship. God wants to take you and I, even now, in this time of the establishment of his covenant, he wants to take you closer. And I want you to know, child of God, that we must not be distracted by the circumstances of this world, by the financial collapse that's taking place around many today. God wants you to, at this time, focus on getting to know him, seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, so that every other thing can be added to us. This is a special place. Everybody's invited. There's so many that are guests. There are some that are even part of the wedding party. But one is going to be the one that is going to go into that secret place and gets to stay. Others may have prepared it, prepared the bedroom and all of that, but one gets to stay. Is that going to be you? Is that going to be me? Is that going to be us as one unit? Because the people that God comes to and he's going to marry himself to are the people that are not going to allow strife to come into that realm. You see, there's something different about a dove. A dove abhors strife, unlike a pigeon that can stay around chaos. A dove, as soon as there is confusion, takes off, it leaves. What's going to happen with you and I in our relationship? The next verse says something very interesting. Take us the foxes. The little foxes have spoiled the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. What is God saying? He's saying, if you're going to come to this secret place, you got to take care of those deceptive animals, those foxes. You know, we have this adage, crazy like a fox. You know, got to get rid of that craziness. That craziness that creates turbulence all around you. It says, because the vines are tender grapes. You've got to take care of this very carefully, very tenderly. How do you and I take care of our relationship with God? Is it of importance to us? Listen to the 16th verse. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. He feedeth among the lilies. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. I am totally sold out to him, and he's totally sold out to me, and he feedeth among the lilies. What is that referencing? It's a reminder of God providing. For he said, look at the lilies in the field. Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. And God is saying, I am your provider. I am your source. You cannot serve two masters. You're going to either love one and despise the other. Because you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve the master of worry and fear and serve the master of peace and glory. He that dwelleth in the secret place is that one that has been brought in to this inner chamber of the presence of God. And in this inner chamber of the presence of God, God wants to reveal himself. God wants to show himself great. So that you can come to the place where you begin to magnify him. Because you've drawn near. May I say to us that this secret place is a place that you cannot get to by yourself. It's a place that God has to take you to. Because if it is known to you, then it will be known to the devil. And the devil can access it any which way. People sometimes will tell where they're going to have their honeymoon and whatever else. But I doubt that anybody that is going on their honeymoon tells somebody the room number and gives somebody else the keys to that number. Oh, it's secret. It's a private place. And God wants to take you to this place that is private. Because in this place, he commits to you that you will, without a doubt, be protected. He will protect his church. He will make sure that this church, his body, is blemish-free, spot-free, wrinkle-free. This is the doing of the Lord. And I believe that God wants to take you and I to a deeper experience in him, even now. That what you and I used to know, it's going to be different. You know, once upon a time, you were part of the guest. Once upon a time, you were part of the wedding party. Once upon a time, you were like the best man or the maid of honor. But this time, God wants to make you the bride. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you in which he reveals himself to you like never before. In 1981, January the 3rd, Mom and I got married. And from that day, everybody else was outside. There is only one person that has truly my heart. And that's the one that God made one with me. And I want to say that the people that truly have the heart of God are those that he takes into this secret place. They don't hear the general news. They hear the secret message. I know that you and I want to be part of that inner circle. And if we're going to be that, then we must divorce ourselves from every other and have him as the center of it all. Take me past the crowd. Take me past all of those and bring me into the innermost place. Do you recognize that there was only one person that was allowed into that Holy of Holies in the Old Testament? That was a high priest. He went past the outer courts, went through the holy place. Others were able to come through the outer courts. Others were able to come even to the holy place, a limited amount of people to the holy place. But there was one person that was allowed behind those curtains. And it's behind those curtains that he saw what nobody else saw. And it is when his relationship in the Holy of Holies was received that he could come and atone for everybody else. God wants to take you and I to a new place in him. Hallelujah. This place of intimacy. Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. Exodus chapter 19. And verse 4. It says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I dealt judgment on the Egyptians, and I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. God is still doing the same thing today. Separating you from the afflictions and the persecution and the harassment of the world. And bringing you closer. And he calls it on eagle's wings. Wow. On eagle's wings. Ah, yatabo chekele barika. When we read the Old Testament account, we don't see any eagles carrying them. But God describes it that he did it on eagle's wings. What's that? The eagle's wings is the glory of God coming upon these chosen ones. Hedging them and protecting them, segregating them from the pursuit of the enemy. And God is saying the same thing to you and I today, that he wants to separate you from the confusion of the world. Say, how is it possible? How is it possible? Well, it is possible because God wants to establish his covenant. It is possible because God wants you to know that you belong to him. And that he's taking care of you. Will you let him today? How do we do that? By believing him completely. And it starts at the place of the shedding of blood. The place of shedding of blood is the place of the consummation. And from that point on, you must see yourself as married to him. Sharp. Now you are married to him. Now you are covered by him in the secret place. And let's go back to Psalm 91. Because the secret place is not just a place of covering, a place that is disguised so that you cannot interpret what's there. It's not just a hiding place. But interestingly enough, that word, sitar, is a word that can also be translated in a negative way as slanderous and a place of backbiting. What is the common thing about slandering and backbiting? It is a talk that is said in the secret place. But on the flip side of it, on the flip side of this word is this, that this is a place where the secret talk is spoken. How can I put it? This is the bed talk. Or like Songs of Solomon puts it. Let me flip back there for a quick moment. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. See what he says here in the 14th verse. He says, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Your voice begins to change your countenance. The sweeter your words, the more handsome or pretty you become. Slanderous, backbiting words generate ugliness. Sweet words attract. Sweet words attract. And God is saying to us in the passage that the secret place is a place of the secret, sacred talk. This is a place where God reveals things to you. This is where God unveils himself to you. This is a place where the God talk brings you into a dimension of you experiencing the glory of God manifested. God has this place, you know. We need to desire this place. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. So, Pastor, why are you coming to this passage of Scripture? Well, because prior to these verses, he is calling them from the midst of many. There were others there that were disciples. But he calls these 12 up to make them apostles. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that God calls people from the midst of people. How else can I put it to you? If all the church, so-called church, is the bride of Christ, who are the guests? And who are the virgins? I must tell you that God picks from the midst who it is that he engages fully with. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 37, we see Jesus just about to go to the cross. And then it says to us, it says, then cometh Jesus with them, meaning his disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And listen to the next. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. Huh? Were they not disciples? Yes, of course they were disciples. But he separates disciples from disciples. And began to be sorrowful and very heavy. In other words, he showed to these three an aspect that he did not show to the rest. Is that something that God wants to reveal that I need to be aware of? In John, or rather Mark chapter 9, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 3. Here I'm still talking about the fact that, yes, we are all, but God wants to take certain people beyond general information. He says, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, we shall not taste of death. There are some that are standing here. We shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. What? Okay, let's go to verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. The other disciples did not see it. Peter, James, and John saw him in a way that others did not see him. That explains why many times there are people who do not have an understanding of deeper levels of things that God is saying. It does not come to their natural mind because the things of God are spiritually discerned. And I want to become more spirit-focused so I can see what God is showing. What about you? He was transfigured before them. He revealed who he was to them. He had been with them all these years, and they had not seen this part of him. They had not experienced this part of him, what he was doing at this particular moment. They had not known it. But God wants to reveal himself at deeper levels to you and I. So, Pastor, all of this you are seeing from Psalm 91. Not me. He is showing me. He's showing me something that I had not known before. He's unveiling his word into my spirit. In Psalm 25 and verse 14, we read these powerful words. It says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, those that reverence him, and he will show them his covenant. He will show them his covenant. You know, he reveals his covenant to those that reverence him. And in Amos 3:7, the word of God is very explicit. It says directly to every one of us, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying there is a deeper level that God wants to take his people to, if we're willing to focus our attention on him, if we're willing to shun strife, bitterness, confusion, if we're willing to shun those things, that there's a place God wants to take us to, and God wants to reveal his secrets to us. It is important. You see, this secret place is a secret place of the manifestation of the presence of God. In Psalm 27 and verse 5, let me go through this real quickly. My time is going. It says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me upon a rock. Now, what is that all about? God hiding us in the time of trouble, in the secret of his tabernacle, and at the same time says, he shall set you and I up upon a rock. Now, the secret place is a place of intimacy, but the place that God sets you up is he boldly walking with you and making you, affirming you, so that everybody knows that you are hooked up with him. That is hiding you in plain view. He's overshadowing, he's covering you, he's helping you become all that you're called to be. No, Psalm 31 and verse 20 tells us something. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. In the secret of thy presence. What was the presence of God? The presence of God was the glory of God. God says, I will hide you in the secret of my presence from the pride of man. The pride of man is man trying to muscle up and, you know, try to prove that he is in charge. As it is in our world today, man is trying to prove, I'm in charge. I can do whatever it is I want to do. I want to control the world. I want to this, I want to that. And God says, I'm going to hide you from the pride of man. He says, thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. There's a strife of tongues. Words being splattered all over the place. God says, I'm going to hide you in my secret place. In the place of intimacy with me. You see, in this place, you can be like the Lord Jesus Christ that he wanted to push off the cliff and he just turned around and walked right through them and went home. This is a place of supernatural existence. This is a place where Peter and the disciples are put inside a prison and the angel of the Lord comes and they walk out of prison and they, in obedience, continue to preach the word of this life. They thought they had them, but they didn't. And God is going to manifest himself in a glorious way in this last of the last days in his people because he is engaging with us as we engage with him. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. How do we draw near to God? By magnifying him. In our worship, in our adoration, seeking his face, and declaring his praise in all the earth. In Psalm 61 and verse 11, we read, Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. You show me the path of life. It says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In your presence, as God reveals himself to us, there is fullness of joy. It says, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There are pleasures in God forevermore. You know, God has his way of protecting us. Do you know that? It reminded me a few days ago of an experience I had, maybe about a year or two ago. Somebody was speaking negative words towards me. And all of a sudden, I started laughing. I wasn't laughing at them. It was a joy that came from within. I couldn't stop it. And the words were coming and coming and coming and coming. And I was just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And I'm wondering, what is this laughter about? And the person was getting more upset because I'm laughing. I said, Lord, what was that about? And he said to me, he says, I was protecting you. You see, because the joy of God quenches all of that nonsense. God wants to flood your life with pleasures, flood your life with the fullness of joy. As he hides you from the strife of tongues. He says, I will show thee the path of life. Because you are not aware of it. God said, I'm going to show you. Let's go back to Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Under the shadow, wow, of the Almighty. What is this? Abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the place of consummation. This is the place where God seeds you with the supernatural. This is a place where God causes you to be pregnant with the supernatural vision, the supernatural expression of his word, the words that he's been speaking over your life. And child of God, we become the apple of God's eyes. in this place, the place of overshadowing. In Luke 1 and verse 35, Luke 1 and verse 35, it says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." Holy Spirit. It's going to come upon thee. "And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." Shall abide under the shadow. The overshadowing of the Almighty. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. But who is this Son of God? The Son of God is the Word of God. Who is the Son of God? The Son of God is the Deliverer, is the Redeemer, is the Savior, is the Healer, is the Provider, is the miracle-working God. God wants to overshadow you so that you and I can become the manifestation of His authority in the earth. God wants to do a new thing, child of God. Because as He overshadows you and I, He births in you and I His authority, His power. God wants to do a new thing. May you and I embrace this newness that God wants to infuse into our spirit man. For the people that know their God will be great, and they will do great exploits. The people that know their God. And God wants you to come to a place of knowing, where we know Him. You know the amazing thing about this knowing of God and doing exploits. Is that God takes us into the inner places in Him that reveals everything around us. It's like having night vision. You know, when the military go out to war, they have night vision, and so they can see in the dark. The people that know God do exploits. Watch this scripture and reflect on it. He says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant," that's the covenant of God, "shall He corrupt by flatteries." What is this? These are the people who are doing wicked things and going against the covenant of God. And the Bible says that the enemy will flatter them to think that they are succeeding. And so the flattery is going on in the world today. And those that are practicing wickedness think they are getting away with it. Oh, but not so. For the Word of God says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Oh, that's powerful. That is incredibly powerful. They are strengthened by God and they do exploits. Oh, the enemy might get some, but he will not be able to get those that know their God. And I want to know Him. And you and I should hunger to know Him and come into this inner circle. The shadow, the saleh of the Lord. It is about the defense of God, the shadow of the Almighty. It's about God's defense. Just like a husband will defend the wife. It's a place of protection. It's a place where you hover jealously. And God says of himself, I am a jealous God. God is jealous over you. God is jealous over me. If we will come to this place of intimacy, he'll be jealous over you. He'll watch over you. You know, in Psalm 17 and verse 8, talking about the shadow, he says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. He said, I brought you on eagle's wings. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. In Psalm 36 and verse 7, Psalm 36 and verse 7, the word of God says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Because God, your name, is an excellent name. And your loving kindness, which is the expression of God's mercy, is powerful. In Psalm 57 and verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusted in thee. My soul trusted in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Notice that God is protecting in the midst of calamities. And that's in the secret place, in plain view. Let me go further. You see, because in this secret place, God is doing much more. In Isaiah 49 and verse 2, Isaiah 49 and verse 2, he describes this in another way. He says, and he had made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand had he hid me and made me a polished shaft in his quiver. Had he hid me. A great man has this quiver full. But what is this quiver? It is where he places his arrows. Watch this. God, in the secret place, makes you a powerful weapon. Wow. Wow. Isaiah 51 and verse 16. Isaiah 51 and verse 16. It says, and I've put my words in thy mouth. I've put my words in your mouth. Where is this happening? In that secret place. God is speaking into your spirit. Great words. He says, and I've covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. That I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Zion, that's all of God's people, thou art my people. You are my people. Wow. Now, let me wrap this up for now. Psalm 91 is about God's protection and God's deliverance. It is clear. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge and my fortress. In him, my God, In him will I trust. I will serve the Lord. That is a very general term. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. That takes place in the place of intimacy. You've come to that place where he's not just God. He's your God, my God. He's not just a refuge. He is my refuge. He's not just a fortress. He is my fortress. And therefore, I place my trust in him. Why? He's taken me into a secret place where he's revealed his treasury to me. He has brought me into a secret place where I have come to know him. And in this place, I have no reason to leave. I'm going to abide here. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stick with this. Hallelujah. But while this passage is a passage of deliverance, and verse 3 will tell us that, it says in verse, surely he shall deliver thee. The word is natsal, deliver. But what does this word natsal mean? It means to snatch. To snatch away, to pluck out. And God is saying to us, listen, in this place of intimacy, I am going to be the God who snatches you out, plucks you out of the snare of the fowler, the entrapments of the enemy. When they think they've got you caught, they've got you cornered, God says, I'm going to snatch you. To snatch something is to move something forcefully. And I want you to know that some of you are going to experience this snatching experience. It's a very forceful experience where you don't understand. I thought everything was okay. Why did God just move me just like that? God just snatched you out. Celebrate. It's a snatching away. But the Bible tells us in verse 14, he says, he shall, because he had set his love upon me. Because this one has set his love been, have come into a place, desire to become intimate with me. He says, because you've done that, therefore will I deliver him. I will palath him. That means to slip away. It's a different word. Different from snatching away. This is the act of slipping away. That's interesting. Because the first one is, I'm going to snatch you. The second one is, I'm going to slip you away. I'll cause you to escape. I will set him on high. Those are those stairs in the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 2. It says, I will set him on high. That's the setting up of the Psalms, where I'll set him upon a rock. I'll set him on high because he had known my name. He had known my name. I've revealed my name to him. I've revealed something about me to him. Do you understand that God has so many names? And again, he reveals a particular aspect of himself. And today he wants to reveal himself to you as Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present. Right here, right now. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the God who makes known. He wants to be Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He wants to reveal that to you today. And verse 15 says, watch this. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. This is a different level now. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, the word here for deliver is the word kalath. Same passage, same 91, Psalm 91. Verse 3, give us Natsal. Verse 14 gives us Palath. Verse 15 says Kalath. But what is this last one? This is where God says, there's trouble, but this time I am going to strengthen you. I am going to arm you. I'm going to equip you. This is where you become trouble to your trouble. He says, I will deliver him. But this deliverance is a deliverance of equipping you. You know him. He snatched you in the place of your ignorance. He slid you through and caused you to escape in the place of you taking off. Come away with me. And now he's armed you. Because now you know him. You know his authority. You know his power. You know his power, his presence. You know his glory. You know him. And now it's time for you to do great exploits. And I believe that God is taking you and I to that deeper level in which not only is he snatching us away or causing us to slide away in escape, but now boldly coming and saying, you want a piece of me? Come on. Because you are fully armed. He says, my deliverance, my ultimate deliverance is in arming you. I raise you up. I teach you. I reveal my secrets to you. You know that you know that you know that you know that I'm here with you. Here's a God who teaches me, trains my fingers to war. God wants to take you and I to an extraordinary place in him. He wants to take you to a place where you don't have to be strange anymore.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Father God, for this message, because I think this message is absolutely necessary for each and every one of us in this time, the times that we're in. Because there's a lot of trouble out there. And we, each and every one of us, need to take hold of what God has for us. We need to be hidden in that secret place. It's a secret place so that we are not seen from our enemy. Whatever your enemy is, he has no way of getting to you, because God is your protection. When God's your protection, you can tell that enemy what to do. Get out of here. Get out now in the name of Jesus. Jesus is your source. Jesus is the one who died on the cross, the one who saved you from hell first, but now he wants to save you from personal destructions. He wants to hide you under his wings. When I was younger, we lived on a farm. We had a few chickens. And those chickens, when there's trouble, like an eagle or a fox or anything, that would come around, this chicken just has to lift his wing up. It's a hen, actually. And she lifts her hand, her wing up, and all the chicks go underneath for protection. God does the same for you and me today. We need to be under his covering. When there's trouble, we know that we have a Savior. And this hen, when that fox or whatever trouble comes around, will fight to the death. To the death for her chicks. And God, you can't defeat God. Nothing can defeat God. So you're under a perfect protection. But you need to go under the wing. Those little chicks that decided not to go under the wing, they were in trouble. Because they were the first ones to get picked on. But that chicken still wanted to protect that chick. So today, if you heard the message properly, you need to stay under the covering of God, under his wing, under his protection. And I thank God, because we can experience deep, deep, deep things in the Spirit. He shows himself to us. How strong he is, what he has. He shows to us heavenly places. Like Peter, John, and James, they were taken up to the higher place. Today, you and I can be taken up to a higher place as well. It's for you and it's for me to experience who Jesus wants to show himself to be. There's 12 disciples, only 3 saw it. You want to be one of those 3. Aim to go get closer to God, and God will show himself to you. Pray, read, study, and he will show himself to you. It's a personal relationship that you want. Is there anybody tonight or today that has to know who Jesus is, wants a closer walk with Jesus? Just raise your hand and we can pray together. Just for you to receive a closer walk with Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Lord of this world. Lord of heaven and earth. And you need to be a part of that. I believe everybody here knows Jesus. And I thank God for that. But under his wings is where you want to be. We thank you, Father God, for who you are. Thank you, Father God. This morning it's time already to bring your tithes and your offerings. God has given to you so that you can give. And he can give you more if he can trust into you. If he entrusted you this much, he can entrust you with more. And he will do that. He is a God of more. He wants more from you, and he wants to give you more. So don't be somebody who holds back. If you hold back, God tends to hold back as well. But he wants to give you more. More, more, more. He's a God of multiplication. So multiply. Right from the beginning, he says, go out and multiply. so we multiply, so we can give more as well. Thank you, Father God, for your the people who give to you, for the people that honor you with their tithes and offerings, and I pray a blessing on them. I pray that you speak to their offering, Father God, and that offering will move in a sense, in a way that we've never seen before. Because you have so many answers on how you want to protect us or save us from financial issues. Issues that we do not want. But you have an answer for every issue, and that you will answer every issue that is right now in these people's hearts, in these people's lives. We thank you, Father God, for being such a gracious God, a God of love, a God of peace, a God of grace, and a God of mercy. Thank you, Father God. We're going to have communion at this point. Does everybody have their communion cup? If you don't, just raise your hand and somebody's going to bring it to you. And I believe everybody has. The children aren't here yet. Can somebody bring them in? Call them in. Meantime, Jesus is the answer to every problem that you have. Jesus has died on the cross so that every issue in your life can be resolved. Jesus has the answer to every problem. Every single problem. And it's not just one answer. It's many answers. So you can depend on Him to bring to you answers to your needs. Answers to your prayers. Answers to family issues. Sickness and disease. If Jesus appeared right here, right now, you would be free from any disease. Just like the lady that touched the hem of Jesus. Jesus asked, who touched me? She received her healing. And right now, Jesus is here, the Spirit of God is here, and He wants you to reach out if you have a need. Reach out and touch Him and receive from Him. When Jesus died on the cross, I know. When Jesus died on the cross, He saved you not just from hell, but also from your problems here on earth. And the Word of God says that by His stripes we are healed. Your finances can be healed, your sickness and disease can be healed. Your bones can be healed. Your mind can be healed. Everything that wants to bombard you in life can be healed. Jesus is the answer. And that's why we partake. He was broken for us. This is my body. Take, eat, and receive what Jesus has for you. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the precious blood that brought us to salvation, into your kingdom, to know the true and living God, heaven and earth. As we take this cup of blessing, we do this, Father God, Abba Father, in the name of Jesus, the blood that was on the cross of Jesus. We do this in remembrance of what you have done for us. And we value our salvation. Thank you, Lord, we've been turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. We've received forgiveness of all our sins. And we bless the Lord, and we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything within me. We bless the holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Take and drink of the blood of Jesus.
I want to thank everybody for being here today. It's not by chance that you're here, but by the will of God. I pray a blessing over the congregation, everybody that's been listening, whoever's online, YouTube, whichever carriers carry us. I pray a blessing on everybody. Receive from the Spirit of God. There's no distance in God. He can reach out to you, even if you're 10,000 miles away. Your sins are as far as the east is from the west. And you need to receive from him because of what he did on the cross. We thank you, Father God. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I want to say hello to everybody that's